So welcome to the second week of our Packing Light series. We're talking about the things that we need to take with us on our journey with God, things that we need to remember. And last week, you remember, we talked about how we gotta be checking the signs, right? If we're gonna head to where the Lord wants us to go, if we're gonna become all that God wants us to be, we've got to check the signs. We've got to get a grip. We've got to live it out. We've got to share the joy. So we talked about that a little bit last week. I want to tell you guys a story, and it's a confessional story in some ways. So bear with me. I share these with you probably too often. So is that going to be okay? Should I switch to handheld? Let me try. Let me keep going. So no, you know what? I'm just gonna. Yeah, that's not going to work. So the good news is I don't have to completely disrobe to do this. So that's the good news.
Hello.
So, when I was in college, my first year, my first summer as a college student, I got a job working for Howard Payne University on our rec team. And so that meant that I went around to camps all summer long, and I did recreation at those camps, and I told them about the joys and the thrills of Howard Payne University, which, by the way, is a wonderful university that you all should, if you're a high school student thinking about college, you should consider going there. But I had a great time. But I remember one time we were at Reunion Arena downtown Dallas for what we used to have these things called youth evangelism conferences. Anybody remember those? Where like there'd be 20,000 kids at Reunion Arena in downtown Dallas just praising and worshiping and learn about the Lord. It was awesome. So anyway, we were down for that, and so I was there for that, and I had to leave there and go to a camp immediately after that was over. And so we got finished tearing down everything. It was kind of late in the evening. It's about, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock, about to start getting dark. I got in my car and I took off, headed for the next camp that I was supposed to be at. But somewhere along the way, y'all, I took a wrong turn. Okay, and I ended up in Oak Cliff. Now, Oak Cliff has changed a lot over the years, but in the early 90s, you know, if there was one place in the Dallas area that you didn't want to get lost, it was Oak Cliff, okay? And here's how I knew that something was not as it should be. Because as I was driving, I just noticed that all of the businesses had like bars on the windows. You know what I'm talking about? And I began to notice that the farther and further I drove, right, the scarier and scarier things began to look for, you know, me, you know, 19-year-old, you know, college student cruising around, you know, inner city Dallas. And so I was getting more and more nervous. And then I looked down at my gas gauge and noticed that I was almost out of gas. I was going to have to pull over and get gas. So I gathered all of my courage, all of my strength, pulled into the first gas station that I saw, got out, I did not look like I belonged here, okay? Let me say that. I was, you know, wearing like little preppy, you know, college guy shorts and boat shoes. And you know what I'm talking about? I had hair then, and it was in like a hair, you know, you know preppy guy haircut. And I looked really out of place. Putting gas in my car as fast as I can. And I put it up. And then I go to pay. And I realized that I had handed the credit card that we were supposed to use for gas to my partner while we were at Reunion Arena, and I had no way to pay for gas at a gas station in Oak Cliff. So I remember I walked into the counter. There's a guy standing behind the counter, and I said, "Sir, I've got a problem," you know, and I started to tell him my story. I got about a couple of sentences into that, and he goes like this. I'm not making this up. He goes, and he calls, and I turned around, and two of the largest human beings I've ever seen in my life come walking in the door, and they come standing right behind me. And so I'm trying to tell. Anyway, I explain to this guy what's going on. And after some really tense moments, the result of which were that he took my spare tire out of my car and kept the spare tire, I was able to negotiate my release from the quick stop and get out of there. But But I will never forget, that. And later, just so you know, later I told this story to the president of our university, Dr. Don Newberry, and he thought it was the funniest story that he'd ever heard in his life. And he told it all the time. But he wrote a check to the gas station and sent them a note saying, thank you for taking care of Brad Miles. It was awesome. So, but anyway, I will always remember, I'll never forget this feeling of being completely lost. I mean, I had no idea where I was. I was in a new place. I was in a scary place. The surroundings were unfamiliar. Nothing that I was seeing looked like anything I had seen before. And so it was really a really terrifying experience in a lot of ways for me. And the truth is that that's not the last time or the only time that I've felt that way in my life. I felt like that a lot of times in my life. I'll feel like, you know, gosh, I'm not really sure where I am right now, but I know it's not right, you know? There've been some moments in my life where I've literally kind of come to my senses and thought, how in the world did I end up here? Where even am I right now? And I feel like maybe there's some folks here this morning that you can relate to that. Maybe that's actually where you are this morning. Maybe you're thinking, how did I get here? I mean, how did my marriage end up here? How did I end up entangled in this unbelievable mess? How did I end up addicted, enslaved? How did I end up facing this diagnosis that I'm facing? How did I end up in this wasteland of grief? Where am I supposed to go after losing someone that I love deeply? So I think there are many of us who are walking through versions of that this morning. And the passage of scripture that we're going to talk about this morning, the psalmist who wrote this, he was in a situation like this. And he is expressing some of the feelings that you and I might express when we're going through a season like that in our life where we just feel totally lost. Maybe the Psalm 42 is what we're going to be looking at, Psalm 42 and 43. And they're really one psalm that is kind of broken up by two chapters for some unknown reason. But maybe this psalm may have been written in exile. It may have been written when Israel had been conquered and defeated and exiled, it may have been that the psalmist was, for whatever reason, maybe he had an illness or maybe he was aging and he was unable to travel to Jerusalem to participate in cultic worship and so of the Jewish religion of that time, and so there was no way to connect with religion and with the expression of that at the temple. But for whatever reason, what we know is that this psalmist feels isolated. He feels separated from corporate worship, and he feels what he's feeling is desperation, discouragement. He feels lonely. He feels a lot of the same ways that you and I feel when we kind of realize one day that we're lost. And so let's just take a look together at Psalm 42, and let's let this passage speak to us this morning as we kind of examine it. Here's what the psalmist says to begin with, and Shelby did a great job of reading this to us earlier, but here's what it says. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. You know, when I was a kid, there was a song, you know, and some of you old people remember this, you know, as the deer panteth for the water. You remember this song? Anyway, I'm sorry about that, but we sang this song together, and I thought of this passage as like a love song to the God. Like I so miss the Lord, you know. There's a desire in my heart, you know, and I felt like it was talking about that kind of breathless feeling that you have when you really care about somebody, when you really love somebody, and you kind of long to be near them. And there may be some of that in this passage, but as I've grown older and as I understand this passage more, I understand that's not really what this passage is talking about. The image here is of a deer on the dry steppes, the wilderness, in the wilderness of Israel. And for whatever reason, the deer, as it's wandered around, probably searching for food, it's become separated, lost from the sources of water that it usually goes to. And so it's out in the wilderness, desperately trying to find water because it knows that if it doesn't find water, it's going to die. And so there's this desperate, frantic search that a person or a creature goes through whenever they're disconnected from water, which is the source of life, particularly like in a high mountain kind of desert area like that. And that's what this psalmist is talking about. He's saying that he feels that way. He's wandered far away from the source of life, the source of strength, that he's so desperate, his thirst is so desperate that it's beginning to feel deadly. It's beginning to feel like I'm in danger of actually dying. And so there's this franticness that is in this psalm as he's speaking to us. And it's important, too, that we understand what thirst actually is. And I know it sounds weird when I say that, but a couple of years ago, my wife and I began a health journey. I know it's difficult to tell by looking at me, but we really tried to make ourselves healthier. And one of the things I learned is that sometimes whenever I feel hungry, I'm not really hungry. Sometimes when I'm feeling hunger, what I'm actually feeling is thirsty. What's actually going on in my body is that I'm thirsty, but my brain makes me feel like I'm hungry, and so I'll eat when what I really need to do is drink water. Anybody know about this? So sometimes what we think is happening, what we think will actually quench the desire or the need that we have in our lives, is something that really won't meet that need at all. I can eat if I want to, but all that eating is going to do is just make me fatter than I already am. What I really need to do is drink something, right? And if I don't identify what that need is, what that urge is, what that thing is that's going on down deep inside of me, if I don't identify it, if I don't get it right, then all of the action that I'm taking, however frantic or energetic or desperate that energy is, right, it won't actually meet the need. It won't actually help me. And I think that that's where some of us are this morning. Some of us gathered here this morning are in that place. And we know there's this aching, gnawing need inside of us, but we're not really sure what it is. Maybe we think we know, but we keep just trying to cram something into that hole that we have in our souls, and it's never filling up. It's never satisfying. And some of you, that's where we're living. I don't know what you're trying to fit into your life, what you think will quench that need that you have. Maybe it's a relationship with someone. Maybe it's financial gain or success. Maybe it's respect or, at work, you know, people, a promotion, people feeling good about you at work. Maybe it's success, like, you know, on the athletic field. Maybe it's trying to discover your identity in something that you're doing or in an activity that you're a part of. I don't know what it is, but we try this all the time. We feel this need, and we just kind of desperately try to meet that need, and all the ways we're trying to meet the need are really only making things worse. And that's the kind of feeling that the psalmist is talking about in this situation, in this passage. He says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you. And so, you know what we used to do whenever we got lost? We have one of these. Anybody recognize this? Some of you, if you're under the age of 20, you've never seen this before, okay? This is what is called a map, okay? And so this is a bigger version of what's on your little screen whenever you do GPS, right? This is, so you have a map. This is going to be really fun to do with one hand, okay? I wasn't planning that this morning, but you take this map and you unfold it, you know, and it's huge. Like, look how big this map is. Look how huge it is. So you have this map, and you would pull this out, like, in your car, and you would try to find where you were on this map. I know, crazy, right? And then you would try to, like chart out a direction to get where it is. This is what we used to use when we got lost. And some of you are thinking, man, I'm so glad I was born in this century, right? I know, because the challenges, you know, they were steep. But this is what we would do. We would take a look at a map like this, and we would try to discover where we are. And that's what we'd be like. We'd be like, man, where am I? You know, what is going on? And here's what the psalmist says. Here's kind of how the psalmist unpacks this. The psalmist says, I thirst for God. I thirst for the living God. When can I go stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food. So the psalmist is saying, I'm looking for the streams of water that is God's presence. But instead of the streams of water that is God's presence, right? All I have are tears. All I have to quench this thirst are my tears. So the psalmist knows that what he needs is the presence of the Lord God. He knows that he needs that, and he knows that that's what he's missing, but instead of the life-giving presence of God, all he has is his tears. And so then he's like, but I remember, he says, my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? And my heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers leading a great procession to the house of God. I was singing for joy, giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And here's what the psalmist is saying. Instead of streams of water of God's presence, I have tears. And I remember what it was like to be in the presence of God. I remember what it was like to have peace that came from God's presence. I can think back and I can see it in my mind, you know. I remember it's somewhere on this map. I know it is. I remember what it was like. I remember the landmarks. I remember what it looks like. And y'all, I don't know about you, but man, I've felt that way so many times in my own life. I've been there where I've found myself in a wilderness, in a desert, and I'm like, it's awful, and it's scary, and it's dark. And I know that what I'm missing is the presence of God. I know I'm missing that. And I can remember it. I remember being in the presence of God. I remember being at peace in my relationship with God. I remember that. And so then I begin to think, man, how can I get back there? How can I get back there? If I can just figure out where it is on the map, then I could probably chart a course there. And I remember a little bit about it. So maybe I can get there. Maybe I can figure it out. You know, and I think that's where some of us are this morning. I think some of us are right there. We know that we need the presence of God. We know we're separated from the presence of God, and we can remember a little bit about it. And so we're trying to figure out some way. How do we get back? How do we get back to that place? You know, how do we get back to that place where we used to be? And we're kind of frantically searching. But really what we end up feeling is discouraged. What we end up feeling is sad. Like the psalmist. He even says that in the next verse. He even says that. Actually, it's at the end of verse six. What he says is, he says, now I'm deeply discouraged. But I will remember you, even from Mount Hermon, from the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mazar. And so what it's really like is the psalmist is saying, okay, I get it, right? I realize now that wherever it is that I am, it's a long way away from where I need to be. That's what he's saying, because the source of the Jordan River, like what the psalmist is saying, that's a distant land. That's a long way away. And so the psalmist is like, yeah, I know, I'm a long way away from where I need to be. I know, I understand that I'm kind of out in the middle of this desert. And I don't know about you, but I can so relate to that. I've been there. I've been in that place where I realize that wherever it is I am, I'm not really sure where it is, but whatever it is I am, I know that it's a long way away from where I need to be. And so even if I can remember what it felt like to be in the presence of God, even if I can remember that the place where I believe I need to be, it's how am I supposed to get there if I can't really identify where I am? And so I'm so far away, I know I'm a long way away. And I know that there's someone here this morning, that's where you are too. Like, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that where you have walked to in your life, where you've wandered off to, right now is a long way away from where you're supposed to be and where you need to be. It's a long way away from the source of strength, the source of life. And so the psalmist is looking for the streams of waters that come from God's presence. But what he sees is the headwaters of the Jordan. Like, this river is not the river I need. It's a long way away from the river I need. I know it is. And what you end up feeling then is you feel discouraged. You feel sad. Then the psalmist goes on. He says, each day the Lord pours his unfailing love on me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to the God who gives me life. He says, oh God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And so the psalmist is saying, look, instead of the streams of God's presence, only the chaos of the deep waters of the ocean, instead of the streams of God's presence, I find myself on a shore that I don't recognize, and the ocean is crashing against the cliffs, and all I see is the raging sea out in front of me. It threatens to overwhelm me. It threatens to drown me. And instead of the streams of God's presence, the life-giving streams of his presence, I'm faced with storm and tumult. And I know that some of us know exactly what that feels like, because we're a long way away from God, and we're trying so hard to figure out how to get back there. I got to figure out where I am. I've got to figure out where the Lord, how do I get back to that place of peace and rest? But the more we try to figure it out, the more confused we are, because we don't understand, right? I know God loves me like the psalmist. I know that he loves me. I know every day he's pouring out his unfailing love on me. So why am I going through this awful mess? Why am I feeling this pain? Why is my family struggling right now? Why am I struggling to just make ends meet? Why does it feel like bad thing after bad thing is happening to me? And the more we try to get to where we believe we need to be, the more confused we are, the more discouraged we are, the sadder we are. And then the psalmist goes on in Psalm 43. He says, declare me innocent, O God. Defend me against these ungodly people. Rescue me from these unjust liars. And here's what I want to say about this. Here's what the psalmist does. The psalmist makes a turn here. Instead of talking to himself, instead of having this internal discussion, like, I don't know where I'm supposed to go right now. I feel so confused. I mean, I keep trying all of these things and they keep failing. Instead of talking to himself, or instead of dialoguing with the world around him, trying to ask advice or where should he go, right? Instead of doing that, finally, the psalmist cries out to God. Declare me innocent, O God. He says, rescue me. And some of us this morning, we're just so bound up with this internal strife that's going on inside of us. And we're struggling so, we're trying so hard. If I could just find out where I am on this map, if I could just figure out where it is I'm supposed to go, and I'm trying to chart my direction, and I just keep getting more and more frustrated. And what the God of the universe wants us to do is to just stop and to cry out to him finally. Because look at what the psalmist says next. He says this. He says, for you are God, my only safe haven. He says, why have you tossed me aside? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. And what the psalmist is saying here is, look, I understand, I recognize, rescue only comes from you. Safety only resides. I only can find safety in you, in your presence. And what it is I need you. I've been working. I've been trying to figure this out on my own. I've been trying to discover, where in the world am I supposed to go? And the more I look at this crazy, stupid thing, the more confused and discouraged I get. And I just feel further and further and further away. That's the reality of where I am right now. And here's the thing, God, I give up. I can't do this. I need you. Would you please? Remember, he says, send out your light. Send out your truth. Let them guide me. I'm tired of, I've been trying to let my own wisdom and my own understanding guide me. I'm trying to let the tools of this world guide me, Lord, but it's not helping. And I know that safety comes from you. Guidance can only come from you. What I need this morning, Lord God, is you. I need you. And some of us, y'all, that's where we're living. I know I felt this way. Y'all, I felt this way. At the end of my rope, like there's no way forward. And what am I going to do? And finally, in desperation, I just lay it all down and I just would cry out to the Lord, God, I need you. I need you to rescue me. Please, God. And finally, I'm in a place where the Lord can work in my life. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Listen. I don't need this map. The map's not going to help me. I'm not trying to find my way to God. I'm not trying to find my way back to Him and back to His presence. Do you hear me? And neither are you. Do you want to know what the truth is? We've already sang about it this morning. The truth is, we don't have to find our way to God. He comes for us. He comes for us. Send out your light. Send out your truth. Lead me, God. Guide me into your presence. Lead me to your holy mountain. That's what the psalmist says. Here's my promise to you this morning. My promise to you this morning is that if you would cry out to the Lord like that, if you would say to the Lord, I need you in this moment, The promise of God is that He will meet you where you are. You don't have to find Him. He already knows where you are. And He's already there with you. The psalmist, he says, listen, he says, there I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. He says, I will praise you with my harp, O God, my God. That's what he says. He says, look, I know that right now my circumstances seem really dark. I know that things around me seem really dangerous. I know that right now my heart feels discouraged. My heart feels sad. But here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to pick up my harp. I'm going to play songs for you. I'm going to sing at the top of my lungs because I know you are coming. I know you are. You have not forgotten me. You will not forget me. I know you're coming, and I will praise you in advance of your deliverance, Lord God. Friends, that's what the work of Christ is all about. That's what He is doing in your heart and in your life. You don't have to find your way to Him this morning. You can shout out your praise because even on the vast, deep, uncertain depths of the ocean, you and I can know that the Spirit of God is moving toward us. He comes to us. And so the psalmist can say, as he's been saying in a refrain this whole time, why is my heart discouraged? Why am I so sad? I will put my hope in the Lord. I will praise Him again, my Lord, my rock. So if you're lost this morning, a couple of things. You are not alone. I've been there. I've been lost because of my own choices. I've been lost because of things that have happened in my life that felt out of my control. I know what it feels like to be lost. So when I'm telling you that the Spirit of God has not left you, will not leave you, that He will come to you this morning, I'm not saying it because I know that philosophically. I'm saying it because I know it experientially. I've experienced His saving love. And if you need to be found this morning in Christ Jesus, all we have to do is say, God, I need you. Please rescue me. Please forgive me. I give all that I am to you. We pray that prayer to the Lord, and his presence comes running to us. He's already there with us. And some of us, y'all, we can remember, we used to live in the presence of God. We used to, right? But for whatever reason, stuff has happened to us. We've done things. We've made decisions. I don't know what it is. But today, whatever reason, we've found ourselves a long way from where we used to be, from where we know we should be. I want to tell you a couple things. Sometimes we're trying to get back to some place that we were at before. That's really not how God works. He always takes us someplace new, and our effort to try to get back is really counterproductive. We just need to stop and allow the Lord to lead us. And maybe this morning, what you need to do, if you remember being in the presence of God, if you remember that closeness, that peace that you felt before, maybe this morning it's time for you to just cry out to the Lord. Confess your need to him. You need to commit to just praising him, just worshiping him. And commit to allowing him to lead you. If we try to direct our own steps, trust me, we will walk right into the valley of death. But if we allow the Lord to lead us, to guide us, he will make our steps sure. We won't stumble. And we won't falter, even when we're on the dangerous ground. That's the promise of God this morning. So we're going to just enter into a time of worship. But what this time is really about, it's about you and I examining our hearts. It's about you and I allowing the Lord to speak to us. And this morning, if you're here and you feel lost, you feel like you need desperately to find that source of life that is the peace and the presence of God. If you need someone to pray for you, we have a little sign right next to this door over here. It says, how can I pray for you? Our prayer team will, if you head to that door right there, our prayer team will meet you at that door. They came this morning because they want to pray for you, because God has led them to pray for you. That's why they're here. And so if you need prayer this morning, head right over to that door as soon as we start singing and allow our prayer team to pray for you. But whatever you do this morning, do not leave this place without crying out in humility to the Lord God and asking him to restore you, to save you. Whatever you do, don't miss this chance to experience his love. In his presence is life and hope and peace. That's what I need for myself, and that's what I want for you. And we can have it in Jesus' name. It's available to us this morning in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Stand with me. Let me pray for you. Father, I just want to lift up my brothers and sisters this morning. I know, God, that there are people in this place that are alienated from you. They feel isolated. They feel alone. They feel as if they're dying of thirst this morning. And the only way that deep thirst in their soul can be quenched is by you in your presence. Would you give them this morning the courage to cry out to you? Would you come to them where they are this morning with your healing, life-giving touch? Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.